We're holding on an Aleph on the day, just past the middle of the Amud, the line begins Shavik. In the middle of discussing the question of Kedushin Shel Nimsur Labia, we started out yesterday, Machlokas Abaye and Rava, on the question, you have Kedushin, where there will never be possible Bia from it, because, for example, your Makadish, let's say, not just two sisters, then we said they're for sure not Chal, but your Makadish one of two without specifying which one. And we said, same thing with other relatives, Since you're never going to be able to do bia, there that kedushin shel nimsur labia. Is such a thing valid kedushin or not? Abaye had said yes, Rava had said no. And we've been going with several attempted proofs against Rava, and so far we managed to find for Rava and all of them. Tashma. Later on in our Masechta, we have a case. Mishi yesh l'shtei kitibanes v'shtei nashim. Suppose a man has two sets of daughters from two wives. Omar, and now he says, Kigashti is Biti Agdola. I was Makadish my older daughter, but the any idea in Gdola Shib Gdola, I don't know whether I was Makadish the old in, let's assume, in other words, for simplicity's sake, what we have is you have, let's say, you know, first he was married to one wife and he had with her two girls, Sara and Rivka. That wife died, or he divorced her. He married another one. We're not talking where he had two wives simultaneously, let's say. He married another one, and he had two more daughters, Rachel and Leah. So now, he says, I don't know whether by that I mean the oldest of the oldest, meaning Sarah, or the Mgdola Shabbatanis, or maybe I mean the older one among the younger pair, meaning Rachel. Or maybe even I mean the younger one among the group from the first wife, which after all she's older than either of the two younger daughters. All of them are also misafik, and all of them are going to need a get misafik, except for the Ktana Shabakanis, except for Leah, who's the youngest of this second pair. She for sure can't be considered Gdola.
A nun can marry a Kohen.
This is also true, right? Mind you, Rashi also says that if you have middle ones over here, what if you had three daughters in the first set, let's say, the middle one, Rashi says, would also be included. If we're saying the youngest one is included, certainly the middle one. Divi Reb Meir, that's what Reb Meir said. So then, what's the point? Now, there's a case of Kedushin Shel Nimsur Labia, because, again, once somebody was Makadish, one of these four girls, how all of them are going to be also to him for Bia, because there's a possibility, okay, granted, the youngest one, there was definitely no Kedushin on her, but she would still be also as potentially Achos Ishtei. Well, she is Achos Ishtei for sure. She's the sister of one of them, but all the other ones are also for the same reason, and yet we see that Kedushin is Chal, which is like Abaye, not like Rava.
Where do we see the Kedushin?
Because we see that Kol and Asuris, all of them are also in the sense that they need to get. So the Kedushin are Chal, at least in the Sophic. Misafik, any of them could have been Niskadish. According to Rava, we should say none of these potential Kedushin can possibly have been Chal, because it's all Kedushin Shel Nimsur Labia.
But one is
he said one, there's a father saying, I was Makadish, I accepted Kedushin on behalf of one of my daughters. But given that, saying that there's a Suffolk on three out of the four girls means that all four of them are now also in Bia.
Not because of Kedushin.
But it is because of Kedushin.
One is because of Arayus.
That's the point. But how was the Arayus created by the Kedushin? If he had not accepted Kedushin on behalf of any of them, they wouldn't be offered.
Yeah.
The answer is, Rava can answer that the case in that Mishnah is talking about where originally he did know which one it was. Later on, he got mixed up and forgot which one it was. So that's different. It was Kedushin Shenimtsur Labia at the time. Because, for example, if he knew at the time that he was Makadish Sarah, that he accepted Kedushin on behalf of Sarah, fine, she's Mutter for Bia with the Chassan. All the other ones are also with the Chalitish, they're fine, big deal. But at one point, it was Kedushin Shenimsur Labia. The fact that afterwards he forgot, not our problem.
We saw in Yivamas that sometimes it's Asur. It's always us,
right? But in the case of Achos Ishtei, actually, once the original one dies, the other one will be Mutter.
Right.
In our case over here, I mean, if the three older girls were to die, the guy would be allowed to marry Leah, the youngest of the young. She was obviously never the one in Scottish, but yeah. Okay, the Gemara says Deka Nami. In fact, you can prove that from the wording of the Mishnah. The father says, I don't know now. I don't know, which implies now I don't know. It doesn't say it's not known, which would imply that it was never known in the first place, but rather, I don't know, implying I knew at one point and now I've forgotten. I mean, okay, so that proves it. That's what the Mishnah means. Okay, Abaya doesn't have to accept that deal, therefore the Mishnah is not a question on Abaya, but the point is we don't have a theory from it against the other. Yeah, the question is, what's the Chiddush then? Okay, one of the Rishonim, I think the Ritva asked, what's the Gemara asking? What's the Chiddush? The Gemara is going to tell us in a minute that there's actually a machlokas on this. The Gemara is going to say in the next words that there's a machlokas of Rav Yosi on it. The Mishnah has to tell us because we need to know about the machlokas. Okay, start off here. Anyway, the answer is, you could say the Mishnah just has to tell us that not it's true. In and of itself, there's maybe not such a Chiddush in it because it is Kiddushin which were at one point Nimsir Labiyah. But the Chiddush is, Lapukim is Rav Yosi, to tell us, not like Rav Yosi. Rav Yosi says that a person is not going to get himself into a Suffolk situation. We have that concept in Nazir as well. And therefore, he would say, he would say that three out of the four girls are for sure mutter to marry others without a get. Only the oldest of the older group, so Sarah, would need a get misafik, or would be also to somebody else unless she gets a get. Kamasha Malan, the Chiddush is, Rav Meir is saying, no, demachus in a shnapshel sveika, a person may well get himself into that kind of suffix situation. He may have originally been accepted Kiddushin on behalf of any of his three older girls, and he's just now forgotten which one, as opposed to Rav Yosi, would say a person would never get himself into that situation in the first place, and therefore he would only have accepted Kiddushin on behalf of if he accepted Kiddushin on behalf of one of the others, that's the thing. Rav Yosi would say a person would never get himself into a suffix situation.
But if it happened,
Rav Yosi says it's not going to happen.
But
But then, he wouldn't have put himself in that situation by accepting Kiddushin on behalf of any of the others and then just having in his mind Gdola. Like this, where he has in mind Gdola, that I accept the Kiddushin on behalf of the older one, if that's the only simon he has in his mind for it, that's very easy to get himself into a suffix. Rav Yosi says he wouldn't do that. He would find some other way to remember it. I accept the Kiddushin on behalf of Sarah. I accept the Kiddushin on behalf of Rivka. Whatever. He would have, because he would have never put himself in a situation where the only simon he has is an equivocal one where he forgets he's going to be in trouble. We had a similar concept in Nazir that a person gets himself into a neder of Nazir, he's not going to do it in a way where there could end up being a suffix. For example, you know, he said, I'll be a Nazir for the 100th cord in this pile, and then he finds a pile of grain is stolen. If I remember correctly, the Rambam does pass in like Rav Yosi, because Rav Yosi Nimukah Imai, but well, when we get to it in the next paragraph, I guess we'll see about it. Next, Toshma, I'd love to bring another proof. Another case, Mishakid, this is the case we had in Yubamas, Mishakidish Achas Mishtei Achoyas, somebody was Mekadish one out of two sisters. The Eni Yadea is a Kiddush. He doesn't know which one he was Mekadosh. Noitin get Lazur, get Lazur. He has to give a get to each one. Again, Kiddush and Lashon Lem Sirobia. Why, according to Rava, would any Gittin be needed? Again, the answer is Hochab Ma'eskin, Shehukrul of a Sais Nisavu. Again, you can give the same answer. He knew to begin with which one he was Mekadosh. Later on, he forgot. Don't assume, in other words, it was a Hachilah. He went to the father and said, I want to be Mekadosh one of your daughters without specifying which. He was Mekadosh one of them explicitly by name, but then he forgot which one.
If the father
if the father remembers, that's different. We're not talking about that. Dekanami, again, we can prove it to the Mishnah, because he doesn't know, but it doesn't say it's not known, which would imply that it's never known. Again, the question is, if that's all, then what's the chiddush in it? The answer is safer. Yes, that's true. That first part of the Mishnah is not really such a chiddush, but the safer is, because the Mishnah continues, mes v'loy och echad. What happens if this chassan who did this kiddushin with one of the girls and now he forgot which one, if he dies, v'loy och echad, and he only has one brother, choylus l'shtei, and he has to do chalitza to both of them. Either one could be the Yavama. He can't marry either one of them because either one could be a choyt zikukasai. It could be one had the zika to him and the other one is his sister, which is also midrabanan. And also a choyt chalutzasai is also as well, as we learned in Yavama. So he can't do chalitza. Midrabanan also, yeah. So therefore he can't do chalitza to one and marry the other. Therefore he has to do chalitza to both. Hoyle Shnayim, and then the Mishnah continues, what if there were two brothers, two surviving brothers? Echad Hoyle Tzvechan Miyabim. Then fine, one can do Chalitza, one can do Yibum. Because once one has done chalitza, then that's it. To one of them, then manafshech. Either she's the one who needed chalitza, and then the other one is not. Then the other one is free.
Right.
Or he did chalitza to the wrong one, and then he's doing yibum with the right one. And the Mishnah continues. Im kodmu v'kamsu in mitzvah nosim yadam. If actually they went ahead and both of them did yibum. Ein mitzvah nosim yadam. Then we don't force them to divorce because the whole thing is only a suffix midrabanan. And the chiddush of that part of the mission is dafka michlitz v'hadu yibumi. The proper way you have to do it is that one does chalitza and then the other one does yibum. Abu yibumi v'hadu michlitz loy. But you can't do the other way around. That one will be miyabim one of these girls, and the other one will do chalitza to the other. Because again, they have the problem that one he does yibum with maybe achos tukase, which would be also jabam. So the point is, okay, the first part of that Mishnah is not a chiddush according to Rava, but the chiddush is in the second part.
And the chiddush is what?
That's the chiddush. That you have to do it in that order. First one does chalitza, and then the other one does yibum. You have to point it out that you have to be careful about a chos tukase. The fact is, we're saying also if you did a mitzvah and in the other, because the whole thing is only a self example. I'm saying. Toshma. Another case from Yavamas. Shnayim shekitchu shtei acholyos. If you have two brothers who are makadosh two sisters, two unrelated men. Yeah, we're makadosh two sisters. Ze'eni yadei ez akiddush ve'ze'eni yadei ez akiddush. Neither one knows which one he was makadosh. Zenos and shnei gittin. Each one has to give two gittin. He has to give a get to each one of the girls because he might have been makadosher. Again, isn't tradition shalanim through Leviyah? Because each one, if there's a suffix, whether he's Makadish, Rachel, then he can't do Bia, where he can never marry Leah, at least as long as Rachel is alive. Again, Hachanamik Shokul of a safe Nisadru. Again, we'll use that answer that we're talking about that originally he knew and later on they got mixed up. And again, Dekanami, the Kasani Eni Yadeh, but like Kasani Eni Yadeh. So if he knew initially, then it was Kiddush and Shinim Tzul Lavia. He could have, at the beginning, Reuben knows that he was Makadosh Rachel. Shimon knows he was Makadosh Leah. Good. So Reuben can marry Rachel. Shimon can marry Leah, and everything's good.
He didn't tell the daughters, or?
No. Here we're not talking whether it's daughters who are being Makadosh through their father, or whether it's the girls themselves are old enough to be Makadosh. It doesn't really matter for our purposes. The point remains, nobody knows at this point. Afterwards, we're not sure whether Reuben was the one who was Makadosh Rachel or Leah. Therefore, it's Kedushin Shalendim Sirubia. Each one might be a Chosish, right? For that matter, each one might be an Ashish ish. It's Kedushin Shalendim Sirubia. And yet, we're saying that they need Gittin. According to Rava, they shouldn't.
Especially if they're twins, so you can't judge them.
Especially if they're twins. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Did it ever happen?
In all of history, I'm sure it's happened. I don't know. There is the minhag that when two brothers marry two sisters, even if it's not twins, they shouldn't live in the same city. Savos Rabbi Yehuda Chosid says you shouldn't do it at all. Many people don't even worry about that. The Rebbe sort of compromised and said at least they shouldn't. Not the Rebbe, previous Rebbe, and most of the Rebbe Rashab said it. For example, sort of Levik and his brother that at least don't live in the same city. No, it's a minhag. It's based on Savas Rabbi Yehuda Chosid. But I think I once saw that there is sort of a logical idea behind it, because if you have sisters, if you have brothers married to sisters, where after all brothers tend to resemble each other and sisters tend to resemble each other, there's too much of a possibility of them getting to be mixed up when they go home, when they live, when they have relations. Yeah. So we'll say it's the same thing. He knew at one point, each one knew at one point which one he was in the Kaddish. Now they got mixed up. Therefore, it was there's no condition shalanim to Labia, because to begin with, it was Labia. Okay, again, the question, and again, we can say because the Mishnah says any yadeh, but like the funny any yadua, again, because the lashon any yadeh means he doesn't know now, not it was never known in the first place. Shami nam. Okay, then the question is, he hakamayim memra. Fine. Then in that case, what's the chiddush of that? Again, the answer is there's not much of a chiddush in the Reisha according to Rava, but there is a chiddush in the Sefer. Sefer is tzricha, right? Because the Mishnah continues, mes. What happens if one of these guys dies? V'lozeach, or both of them died, actually. V'lozeach, v'lozeach. Each one has a brother. Zechoy l'tushten, zechoy l'tushten. Each one needs to do chalitza to both of them, because again, we don't know which one is the yavam of which one. L'zeach, v'lozeach shnayim. On the other hand, if one of these men, one of the ones who was mekadesh, misafik like this, had one brother and the other one had two brothers, ha'echad choy l'tushten, the one single brother has to do chalitza to both of them. There's no way that he can do yibum because it might be achos b'kaseh, which would be also d'rabbanan. But ashnayim, as far as the two brothers of the other guy, echad cholitz ve'echad miyabim. One can do chalitza, and then the other one can do yibum. Because again, no matter what, by chalitza having been done with both of them, you've taken care of any potential problems, and therefore he could do yibum. Either it is a proper yibum, or it was only his brother's achot sukkase, it's not his own, and therefore it's not a problem. And the Mishnah continued up there, that if those two brothers went and did yibum with the two girls, we don't force them to divorce, again, because the whole thing is based on a suffix. And again, the chiddush is, that you have to do chalitza first, then yibum, in that order. You can't say one of them can do yibum and later on the other one can do chalitza. Now here it's not a matter of the chiddush actually is not so much the idea that you have to do chalitza before yibum, because it's fine. We learned that from the previous Mishnah. The chiddush is though that you, that when you have a situation like that, one brother and two brothers, that you can do it in that order. You can have that one of the brothers from one side and one of the brothers from the other side does chalitza, and then the other one from the other side can do yivum. That's the chiddush in it. You can't do it otherwise because you might have yivama l'shuk. She might be a yivama who's marrying somebody outside the family, but that's the chiddush in it, in other words.
You start with
one brother from one side and one brother from the other side doing chalitza, and then once you do that, the brother from the other side is able to do yivama.
So you start with the opposite side of the yibum, the potential yibum.
Well, you start with chalitza. That's what we're saying. You can't start with yibum. You can't start by saying that one of the surviving brothers from the two brother side should do yibum because she might be yivam l'shuk. She may not have had chalitza yet. Okay, so again, still that doesn't prove anything against Rava because okay, it's not kiddushin shel nimsu l'bia, it's kiddushin where bia was possible and then we forgot. Tashma, the Tani Tavyumi, the name of one of the Amoraim, Torah Braita, Lozeh Hamisha Bonim Lozeh Hamish Bonim. Suppose you have two fathers, one has five sons, one has five daughters, and Rashi explains the one who has the sons, his sons have made him a shliach, the Mekadosh on their behalf. Without that, he doesn't have the ability to be Mekadosh any of them. We learned before, a father has the ability to be Mekadosh, to accept Kedushin on behalf of his daughter, not on behalf of his son. But they made him a Shliach to do it. Okay, we learned earlier in the Perek that's a bit of a chutzpahdika thing to do that, but nevertheless, it is doable. Okay. But Omar, and the father of the boy says, Achas b'bnei secha mekudeshes l'echad mibanai, one of your daughters is Mekudesh to one of my sons, without specifying which one. Each of the girls is going to need five gittin from each of the boys, because she may have been the Kurdish to any of them. Mes echad mehem, if one of the boys dies, each one of the girls now needs four gittin from the four surviving brothers. Misa means that now this girl may be a shemeres yavam to the boys.
But the misa is without having done any chalitza or anything.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. There's no chalitza before. Before any of them dies, there's no reason for chalitza. Yeah. So we don't know. We don't know which one. We don't know which of these girls is a Scottish to which of the boys. So therefore, all of them are going to need a get from each of the surviving boys, as well as they're going to need chalitza from one of the boys. Each of the girls is going to need chalitza. They don't need chalitza from each of the four boys. They just need from one of them because manavshach, they're all five brothers. They're all five brothers. Once one of them does chalitza with each one of them, then that takes care of any possibility, whichever it was that the shemeres yavam has now been taken care of by one chalitza. So that's, again, a stira to Rava, because, again, this is tradition shlanim tzur l'biya. Each one of the girls is also to each one of the boys, because she may be the sister of his arusa, as well as she may be achos ishtoi, which is also also. And again, okay, v'chitema hachanamik shurukru l'vaseif nisabru. Fine, you can argue, like we argued the last couple of times, we're talking about where originally we knew that Reuben is niskadish to Rachel, and Shimon to Sarah, and Levi to Dina, etc. The problem is, ha'achas m'bnei secha la'achan m'bnei katani. However, the Braita specifically said that the father said, one of your daughters is Mekodesh to one of my sons. Meaning he didn't specify the name of the daughter and he didn't specify the name of the son. Therefore, that's Kiddushin Shalanim Tzur L'Biyah.
So
the answer is Tshuv to Derava. It seems to be a contradiction to the question. Tshuv to Derava, it seems to be a contradiction to Derava. The answer is yes, Tshuv to. It is in fact an outright contradiction to Derava now that we have this Braita. And indeed, the halacha is like Abaya in six cases where the simon for them is Yaukagam. Rashi lists all of them. Yud is Yir Shlemidas in Bava Metzia. Ayin is a case of Eid Zomim in Sanhedrin. Lamed, Rashi says, is Lechi Yomim Me'ilov, a case in Erevin that we had a few years back. Tosfos brings two other possibilities, what it could be. One is a machlokas in Nida that you made later, the Lamed could stand for later. And the third one is a machlokas that we learned way back in Pesachim about loy efshev loy kamachavin. Loy kamachavin, efshev loy kamachavin, where you would be able to avoid a certain type of hana. However, you're not really having in mind to have that hana. Is it also or not? The kuf is our case, Kedushin Shalanim Sulabia. Gimel is Gilu Daita Begita, which we had a few months ago in Gittin, a case where the husband makes it clear that he wants the Mimavasal to get, but he actually hasn't said so in so many words. And the Mem is another case, Mumu Echonavela is a case in Sanhedrin.
All these cases?
In all those six cases, the halacha is like a bay. Joseph mentions there's a couple of other places in Shas, actually, where we have the halacha like a bay. By rights, those ought to be listed. They're different. No, you know, every rule has exceptions. Again, So the Rav Levick brings it in his notes on Gemara a deeper reason why the halacha is like a baya in these six cases. A baya represents gevura as opposed to rava represents chesed, and kagam specifically stands for the three sons of Levi: Kahath, Gershon, and Merari, which Levi represents gevuras. So the Yaal Kagam, like the Kagam, the Gvuris, go higher, Yaal, they go up, and therefore the halacha is like a Baya in those cases.
Gvuris is high in a way that...
No, really, normally Chesed is higher than Gvura, but in this case, Yaal goes up above Chesed, and therefore the halacha is like a Baya.
Rav Levick says that.
Rav Levick says that, yeah. The B'nai Yisofko says a verse, the Gemara in Bava Basra that mentions one of Amaroyim, Rav Adar Ba'ava, saying that to the Talmidim, instead of gnawing on bones at Abayas, come eat fat meat by robbers, meaning that at robbers we have a much more Lebedic kind of learning. The word Garmi, which the Gemara uses over there for bones, is the gematria of Yaal Kagan, hinting at the idea that only a nose is a halakha like Abaya.
So
Chesed is higher than Gvura. Mishnah said, Maisa b'chomish noshim, it happened...
Abaya was definitely
a Kohen. Rava, actually, it's not so simple. There's a Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah that discusses it. It's also in Chulin. There's a bit of discussion whether Rava was a Kohen or not.
Kohen is Chesed.
Kohen is Chesed. Levi is Gvura.
I thought
Kohen is Gvura. No. Kohenim have a stereotype of being angry people. It is true. But in terms of Kabbalah, Kohenim represent Kohenim and their Avodah represent Chesed. Levium and their Avodah represent Gvura. Yeah, the Alter Rebbe discusses it. The Alter Rebbe mentioned it briefly in Perek Nun of Tanya, and it's
in a way, are they being?
Well, they're from Shemit Levi, sure, but yeah. Okay. Maisa b'chomish noshim. The Mishnah said it happened a case of five women where a guy took a basket. A guy picked a basket of figs, which was from their field, and it was figs of Shmita, and he was Mekadish them. So the Gemara says, Omer Rav, Shema Minim Masnis in Arba. You're able to derive four halachas from this case in our Mishnah. However, Rav only had three of them in his hand, meaning that he had them memorized as they're part of a standard girsa. When he would teach this Mishnah, he'd teach these three halachas along with it. Namely, number one, Shema Minah HaMekadosh Peiris Shviyas Mekodeshes. Number one, we see that if a person is Mekadosh with Peiris of Shviyas, it is a valid Kedushin. Rashi says two reasons why we'd think that not. Number one, Peiris Shviyas is not your mom, it's Hefker. Number two, because since the Torah says that Peiris Shviyas is supposed to be La'ochla, only for eating, you would think maybe you can't use it for Kedushin.
And in fact, just
the Pasuk says La'ochla, and we dash in below the Skoda, that it's not meant for doing business, etc. Tosfos says that that is true. L'chatchila Yitaka could not be Mekadosh a woman with Peiris Shviyas, but yeah, that it would be valid.
It's not Chela, Mekadosh a woman.
But, yeah. So that's number one. Number two, you can learn from our Mishnah that if you Mekadosh a woman with something stolen, then it's not valid Kedushin, even if the Gezel was from her herself, if he stole it from her and then gives it back. Because you would think, Rashi says, since she accepted it as the Torah of Kedushin, maybe it means she was Moichel on the Gneva, on the Gzeva, and therefore, and she's Moichel on it, so he was Koine, and therefore it's valid Kedushin. We say that no.
She could accept something that was stolen from her.
In principle, she could.
She would marry a guy who steals from her.
No, we'll talk about soon. Shadich, loy shadich. Wait. Mimai, how do we see that from the Mishnah? Because Tani Shalahen Hoseh v'Shal Shviyas Hoseh. Because the Mishnah had said the figs were from their field, but it was Shemitah. Time of the Shviyas to Hefker, which means why was it a valid Kedushin, at least for some of the women, because not the sisters, as we talked about. Okay, but why was it valid Kedushin for the rest of them? Only because it was Shviyas, and therefore it was Hefker. Had it been during any of the other years of the Shemitah cycle, then it wouldn't work. Therefore, we see that a Mekadosh Begezel is no good. And number three, that one woman can be a Shliach to accept Kedushin on behalf of another woman, even where that would make one a Tzara to the other. Now, we learned back in Yuvamis, and we learned a couple of times since then, that there are cases when we don't allow a woman who is two women who are Tzaras to be made on each other. We had a number of cases in Yuvamis we had a whole discussion towards the end of Yuvamis, cases where one woman wants to testify that their common husband is dead, where they can't accept the Eidos on behalf of the other one. Yeah, we don't trust them because she might be trying to mess her up. Yeah, various cases of that sort. Here, even though of these five women, okay, let's leave out the sisters for the moment. The other three women, if Kedushin is accepted, they're all going to be tzaras to each other. They're all going to be co-wives. Nevertheless, one of them is able to accept the Kedushin on behalf of the other one, and we say that's valid. Tosis points out the difference. Tosis points out a couple of reasons. Tosis points out a reason, rather, is because there's a difference when a woman comes to say, for example, our common husband is dead. There's no maise involved. This is a statement. She may make a statement like that, intending to mess up the other her co-wife. Over here, there's a maise involved. She's actually accepting kedushin. That's different.
And they wouldn't lie for that.
There also have to be aged kedushin present. Remember. Well, they're not necessarily. She herself may be the only agent. If there were other agents, we don't have to depend on her. Also, Tosfos says the other kiddush you could say is if the other women had told her explicitly accept this kiddush on our behalf, sure, maybe there'd be no question. The kiddush is, let's say they told her in advance that we'll appoint you our shliach, but at the time when she accepted the kiddush, even though they were all standing there, they didn't say good, now accept it on our behalf. She just accepted it stam, and she didn't say I'm accepting it on their behalf. The kiddush is that nevertheless we say that that's valid. Yeah. Okay, so those were the three that Rav had as a part of the standard girsa. The Idach Maihi, now we said Rav said we could learn four halachas from our Mishnah, but he didn't count the fourth one as a standard Loshen. What's the fourth one? This is Kedushin Shein Mitzir and Labia, the case that we just discussed between Abaye and Rava. Either way, we could deduce it from our Mishnah, either from the Reisha or from the Sefer, as we said yesterday. Okay, so the question is for Nechshava, why Taka does Rav not count it? Why doesn't he say when he was enumerating the things you can learn from our Mishnah, enumerate that as well? The reason is, because he himself is not sure how to zestai in the Mishnah like a buyer or like Rava. So he didn't want to say we can learn from our Mishnah about Kedushin Shalanim Surabia because the bottom line is you can't say, based on our Mishnah, is it valid or is it not? Again, it depends on who we understand the Mishnah like. And again, until we had Tav Yomi's Braisa early on the Omer, we didn't know. Yeah. Gemara tells, Kisolik Rav Zeira, when Rav Zeira went up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Amr Laha Shmait Tamed Rav Yechanan, he told over this vort, this teaching to Rav Yechanan, that Rav mentioned these dinim that you can learn from this Mishnah. Amr Lei, so Rav Yechanan asked him, Mi Amr Rav Hachi? Did Rav really say that? Particularly about this thing about Gezel. Now, at this point, the Gemara starts by assuming that Rabbi Yochanan, why would Rabbi Yochanan be incredulous about it? Rupashtas, because he himself disagrees.
Well,
so therefore he's saying...
He disagrees, because why... Me and my Rav,
well, we find elsewhere in the Gemara, we find another Gemara in Poland, for example, that Rabbi Yochanan highly respected Rav. Rav was one of the older Talmidim of Rebbe. Rabbi Yochanan was one of the junior Talmidim. So for that reason alone, he respected him a lot. So therefore, if Rabbi Yochanan, if as the Gemara is assuming right now, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rav, then he might not outright say, I disagree with him. He might incredulously say, is it really true Rav said this? And we would be left to understand that.
What did you read that?
I didn't, but there was a Gemara in Cholin that mentions this, as the Gemara says over there, that as long as Rav was alive, whenever Rabbi Yochanan would send him a shaila or a statement in halacha or whatever, he would always address it to our Rebbe in Babel.
It's very respectful
to him, yeah. Okay, the question is why? Hello. What's Rabbi Yochanan so incredulous about? Doesn't he say the same thing? Why would Rabbi Yochanan be so incredulous that Rav saying this, which implies that he doesn't agree with it? Rabbi Yochanan himself said the same thing. Rabbi Yochanan said that if somebody stole means a ganer, like you break into somebody's house when they're not there. Whatever. Gezel actually means like you take it from them by force directly from them, and they're fully aware of it. That's basically the difference between Gezel and Gneza. Gezel is a pasuk by Yigzel, it's a hames, that it literally means grabbing something out of somebody's hand. So they're fully cognizant that you took it, as opposed to Gneza, where they don't know. Where they don't know, it's say. So, Rabbi Yochanan says, Gozov and Isyashra Bailim, suppose somebody steals something and the owners have not yet had Yirush on it. Shneim and Michalim Lahakdish, neither one is able to donate it to Hekdish. This object that was stolen. Zel Afisha Ein Shaloi, one, the Gazlan is not able to because it doesn't belong to him. He can't be Makdish, something that's not yours. Zel Afisha Ein Bishusai, and the owner can't do it because it's not in his rishus right now. The point being, in other words, that Gezel, you haven't been Kona Gezel, so therefore, by the same logic, you can't be Makdish.
That has to be in your rishus?
Yes. Not necessarily in your rishus. You could have, for example, something that's in the being washed over by a shomer in your Makdish, fine, because it's in your rishus, wherever it is. Then the point is, here it's in the Gazlan's rishus. You don't know if you're going to be able to get it back. You haven't yet been Miyash, but still, yeah. So by the same logic, if the Gazlan hasn't been koneh, and he can't be Makadish with it either, so he's saying exactly the same as Rav on the face of it.
I mean, the Gazlan is not an Isus. The owner is not an Isus. What is it, Hefker?
No, it's not Hefker. The Gazlan has to return it to the owner.
I understand, but which Rishus is it?
Right now, it's not really in either one's Rishus. It's not fully in the Gazlan's Rishus because he hasn't been koneh, and it's not fully in the owner's Rishus because he doesn't have control over it. So anyway, so that amounts to the same thing as Rav. So what's Rabbi Yochanan's problem with what Rav says? Joseph, by the way, asks the question: What exactly is Rabbi Yochanan's chiddush? Of course, we know all of Shas that if you steal something and there wasn't Yirush, then it's not considered yours. What exactly is his chiddush? Tosfos says you would think, fine, when it comes to dinim mominus, or when it comes to making it hektish or whatever, fine. When it comes to being makadish a woman with it though, where it's a matter of isur v'heter, maybe l'chumra we should say that it is valid kiddushin, even though it's true the Gazlan hasn't fully acquired it yet, because there wasn't Yirush. Maybe we would say that l'chumra we would consider her niskadish. No, Rav is saying, and Rabbi Yochanan effectively is saying the same thing, that no, there's nothing doing. The answer is hachikam.
If he said yes, everybody would do that. Everybody would take something and marry a woman.
No, so Tosfos actually discusses that at least if he steals it from her directly, there is a possibility she can always say ein shakli v'didi shakli. The only reason I took it from him, even though he's claiming it's a terrorist kedushin, is because I wanted my thing back, not that I wanted to accept it as kedushin. But yeah, I mean, if he steals from somebody else, I mean, again, we'll talk about it on Amadeus more. There can be cases where such a thing could work. Wait. Anyway.
And not
Tikkun Olam, fine. But okay. Okay, the answer is Hocha Kamala. The answer is Hocha Kamala. You're right. Rabbi Yochanan is not saying that, he's not incredulous, how could Rav have said such a thing? He's asking like in a pleased way. Me Omer Rav Kavasi. Is it really true that Rav, the great Talmud Chacham, said the same thing as I'm saying? He was pleased to have confirmation of it.
Honest.
Yeah. Okay, the Gemara says, maybe I have a contradiction to all this. A Braita says, we learned it earlier in the Masechta, Kitshav Gezel Chomas of Gneva. If somebody is Mekadesh a woman with something that he robbed, or Chomas, which is, we said then, Chomas is that you force the guy to give it to you and then you pay him the value, or Gneva, or something that he stole underhandedly, or he grabbed the fella out of her hand, and he was Mekadesh, then she is Mekodesh. So you see, you can be Mekadesh Begezel. What are Rav and Rabbi Yechman saying, huh? The answer is Hossam Begezel Dida. That case is talking about where it was something stolen from her. Which, again, we could argue once she accepted it, the Torah's Kedushin, once he grabbed it from her and then gave it back to her and said, Hareyat Mekodeshesli, and she accepted it as Kedushin, we could argue it means that she was Mochel on the Gzela, and therefore that it is considered his. He was Koneh with her Mechila, with her Yirish, whatever, and then he's returning it to her, and then he's giving it to her, and that's Kedushin.
But wait a minute. He didn't give her anything.
He did. He just gave her something, which it was hers. Think of it this way. If she'd willingly given him the purta, and then he gave it back to her b'teres kedushin, that for sure would be good, right?
Can't you say it's a milveh? I mean, we had the ultimate
this isn't. If she was miyayishin, that's the thing. If she
was miyayish.
That's the thing. We're saying if she's moichalot, that's the mechila and yush.
Wow.
Effectively, it amounts to the same thing, kind of, yeah.
Mechila and yush is...
No, it's similar. It's not exactly identical, but it's similar. The point is that it no longer belongs to her. But therefore, it belongs to him. Fine. It can be mechadish with it, yeah. The Gemara says, why? Why? The Sefer mentions that he grabbed a cell out of her hand, implying they called the Resha Begezel Dama, which implies that the Resha, when it says that he was the Kaddish of Begezel, the Bechomas of Begneva, means something that he stole or robbed or whatever from somebody else. So then it seems either way, the Braita says,
right.
Whether it was from a third party or whether it was from her,
right.
Or Kodesh.
Right.
The answer is no. Perushi Koma Farish. No, the Braita is not telling us two separate cases. It's explaining. What kind of case would that be where such a thing is valid kedushin? Like, for example, he grabbed a cell out of her hand and then the kaddish was there. Okay. Question is, well,
what's the difference?
Well, that's that. In other words, then we don't have to say that one part of the braisa is talking about he stole from somebody else, and the other part is talking about he stole from her. They're both talking about the identical case. He stole from her, and then we would say mekudesh. The problem with that is...
So now we're saying both Sefer and Resha, he stole from her?
No, yeah. He stole from her. And we're saying Mekudesh. Whereas we could argue that Rav is talking about he stole from somebody else. The problem with that is... Our Mishnah is talking about something that he stole from her, because again, the case was that he took figs from her field, and the only reason it was good was because it was Shmittah, and they're Hefker anyhow. V'kama Rav ain't Mekudesh. And it's in that case that Rav says that had it not been Shmittah, they would not be Mekudesh. So we see that Rav is talking about that he stole from her. So it's a contradiction between Rav's understanding of the Mishnah and the Braisa. The answer is Loikasha. Hodashodich, hodaloshodich. The difference is, when do we say Mekudesh is if there was previously Shiduchim, where previously he had talked with her and she agreed to be Niskadish to him. Now we can say that therefore, when she accepted the seller from him, then we can consider Mekudesh, that she was Mechola to him and she's willing to be Niskadish with it, even though it was hers originally.
Because there was a
shidduch beforehand,
and that's what the Mishnah and the Braisa.
Shachotav selam yod v'kidshah mekudeshes. That would be talking about when he did shidduch. Hodloy shadich. Whereas if he did not do shidduch, then the Mishnah would be talking about then nothing doing, and the case in the Mishnah would have to be where there was no shidduch ahead of time. There was no verbal agreement ahead of time to be niskadish.
So we're assuming that when there was a shidduch, she will not come back on her. Even though she accepted.
No, it's just once there was shidduch, right. That once there was shidduch, that we can accept that when she took that thing, she meant to accept it b'teres kedushin. As opposed to if there was no shidduch, then she has the ability to say ein shakli b'didi shakli. That after all, I'm just taking back what belongs to me, and the only reason I said yes when you said hareyat mekudeshesli, because otherwise I wasn't going to get it back.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Incidentally, the Rashba mentions on this, he says that even if we say that the Kiddushin is valid, even in the case of Shadich, where the Kiddushin is valid, he still does owe her the value of the thing that he originally stole from her. She may have been Mochalit, he still has to pay her for it.
It still counts as a
putta. It still counts as a putta. Yeah. Mishnah tells the case. There was a woman who was washing her feet in a basin of water. Not a basin. Not just a seifel, like a cup of water, a flask, whatever, of water. Asahu gavra chotav zuzim mechavre. A man came along. He grabbed zuzim, or one zuz, from another person, Vishadala, and he threw it to her. And he says, so the person came to Rava to ask, is it valid tradition? The person who stole the money, who grabbed the money. Yeah. So he came to Rava. Rava answered, lest the choshla hadr of Shimon to Amastam Gzela Yish Bayramavi. There is an opinion of Reb Shimon that says that whenever there was a zela, there was an open robbery where one person grabbed the hold of something from somebody else, Reb Shimon holds that automatically in that case there is always yirsh. We can assume that there is yirsh. However, nobody is concerned about that opinion. The halacha is not like that opinion. Rashi says the context of it Rashi brings is a Mishnah in Kalim of all places.
The fact that he mentioned Rabbi Shimon means Rabbi disagreed with it.
Well, he's saying that you should know there is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. However, nobody holds of it. The halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon. The Rashi says, interestingly, where the context of this is, the context is Mishnah in Kalim, of all places.
Why?
Well, of all, you wouldn't expect the dinim of Gneva and Gzela to be in Kalim, which is halacha, the Tum of Atara. But the reason why it comes in over there is because you have a case over there. The Mishnah establishes over there like this. Usually, any object, there has to come a point when it's Makabal Truma. Where beforehand it's not Makabal Truma, and then there comes a point when it is. That point is Gmar Malachta, when it's finished being processed for whatever it's normally, for whatever it's being made into. The basis of a lot of the Mishnayos that we have in Shlosha Tristan Hain is that kind of thing. It's an unfinished product, therefore it's Tahar Mikloam, etc. One example is leather. Usually leather, there's processing, there's tanning and whatever that has to be done to it. And until that's finished, it's not Makabal Truma. What happens if you decided that you're going to leave it unfinished and you're going to use it for something? Then it is Makabal Truma. The fact that it's unfinished for most purposes, but it's finished for the purpose that you intend.
Right.
So therefore, that's it. It's considered finished. So the mission discusses over there what happens if a ganav or a gazlan were to steal a piece of leather, a piece of hide. At what point, and they have in mind to do something with it, at what point does their machshava make a difference? So one way of looking at it is that if it was a ganav, which is the Tanakama over there, if it was a ganav, then we can say he stole it, but he broke into the guy's house or whatever when he wasn't home. The guy has no way of knowing now who the ganav is. Therefore, he's miyayish. He knows he has no way of finding who the ganav was. Therefore, he's miyayish. Therefore, the ganav is toying it with that yush. Therefore, his machshava has the ability to affect the status of Tum of Atara of this piece of hide.
That is, if he considers the object finished?
Yes, once the ganav himself decides, I don't want to bother finishing tanning and I'm going to use it as is, then it would be Makabal Truma. As opposed to, if it was a gazlan, the Tanakhama says, since the owner knows who the gazlan is, he stole it right out of his hand, then he's not miyayish, and therefore the gazlan's thoughts have no effect on it because it's not his. Reb Shimon says the other way around. Reb Shimon says that a ganav, you're not miyayish, and a gazlan, you are. In this case, a gazlan you are, because I mean the guy grabbed it from you. He's too powerful. Yeah, you're afraid to. Yeah. So that's Rava is saying. If we went according to Reb Shimon, then we would say that this zuz that you grabbed from that other guy became yours through years, and therefore you can be punished with it. The halacha is not like Reb Shimon, however, therefore you can't. The first one discussed, by the way, interesting thing. Why does the Gemara bother mentioning that this woman was washing her feet when all this happened? So the Ritva talks about, he says, maybe B'doichot, you could say, since she was washing her feet, she may not have, when the guy said, Harayat Mekudeshesli, maybe she didn't pay attention, maybe she wasn't paying close attention to what's going on over here. So we're saying that still, if the halacha had been like Rav Shimon, it still would be a valid kedushin.
It had to do with the fact she paid attention or not.
Because she didn't know then that it was stolen or whatever. The Pnei Yeshua actually says almost the other way around. He says, okay, because we're saying she was washing her feet when this guy grabbed the zuz and threw it to her, it means she was present right there. She knew that it was a stolen zuz.
Because she couldn't receive it? She was washing her feet, so she had no way of receiving
it. No, because it doesn't matter. As long as it falls in her, if it's in Siddur, she said Abim or whatever, and it falls in her Dalarama, she's still koine. That's not the point, no.
No,
so the Pnei Yeshua says almost the other way around. Since she was obviously present right there, because it says she was washing her feet, therefore she would have known that it was a stolen zuz. Nevertheless, she accepted it. Again, if the halacha had been like Reb Shimon, it would have been a valid kedushin, and only because not, then not. Also, he says maybe this guy who grabbed the zuz, maybe it wasn't an outright theft. Maybe he wanted to be mekadesh quickly before somebody else does. So he grabbed the zuz from his friend intending to return it, which you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to steal intending to return, but it's still not full-fledged theft. Nevertheless, Rava tells him it is for this purpose considered, yeah.
So there you can be mekadesh with, and someone can accept something that's stolen?
No, we're not saying she was allowed to, but the fact is she did. The fact is she did. Had the halacha been like Reb Shimon, it would have been a valid kedushin. Another case. Hahu arisa bekadesh bezmuzah deshamchi. There was a case of an oris, a sharecropper, who was entitled to a certain percentage of the crops in the field. He was mekadesh with a handful of onions. Also, l'chamed Rava, so he came to Rava to ask if it's a valid kedushin. Amalei man acholcha. Rava tells him, who was meichel to you? Meaning, you're supposed to be getting a percentage of the onions. Like this handful, it's stolen, basically, because you're not going to afterwards be figuring out with the owner to deduct that amount from the part you get. So it's stolen. The Hani Mila B'muza, the Gemara says, now this would apply only if it was a handful, Al-Kisha, but if it was a bundle of onions, the kind of way that you bundle them usually to go sell in the store, of Matsi Omalei, then afterwards a bundle is a significant thing, then the artist is able to tell the owner, I'm not Shakli Kisha, okay, I took one bundle, Shkolat Kisha, you take a bundle to compensate for that. A bundle is something definable. We can figure it out when we divide up the percentages. Kisha ki Kisha, because after all, one bundle is just like another.
So you can ask him though for a Kisha back.
So the point is therefore that wouldn't be considered stolen.
Because
afterwards he'll be able to square accounts, and because afterwards we expect that he'll square accounts, not return it, but we expect that afterwards he'll square accounts with the balabas, as opposed to a handful where he's not necessarily going to.
Marshall, the other way around. See, a bundle he wouldn't, and a handful.
No, because a handful is not really a definable amount. A bundle is a standard. That's the point. A bundle is a standard thing. You know, you can figure out afterwards there was going to be a standard. No, a bundle is like the bundle of them that you buy in the store or something. I don't know. The point is, it's a more definable thing. It's something where afterwards, when you're figuring out amounts, you can figure there were X number of bundles of onions that came out of this field. I took one extra, so therefore let's enter that into the calculation. Marsha points out an interesting thing, by the way. We had a case a few days ago of a guy who was mekadesh with a bundle of vegetables,
right,
and the Gemara said it was no good because it's a bazillion.
Right.
So how is it mekadesh? Marsha answers, the difference is, they were with a katana who the father was accepting kiddushin on her behalf. That's a bazillion. But here, it was an older woman, a begeres or whatever, who was able to accept kiddushin on her own behalf. Fine, if she wants to accept a bundle of onions, as long as it's a shavu pruta, she's entitled.
No.
Another case, Hahu Sarsia, there was a brewer. A Sarsia is not just a brewer. He is to an owner of dates what an oris is to a field. The owner would give him the dates, he'd brew beer from them, and he'd get some percentage. You'd get some percentage, on a percentage basis or fixed amount basis, whatever, similar to a sharecropper. The kaddish truma the shichra. He was mekadesh with the lees from the dregs from the beer making process. So after you take the dates, you squeeze out the juice from them and you ferment it to make beer. Afterwards, you have left the dregs, the squeezed out dates and whatever. Later on, you're able to, similar to what they used to do with wine, where we have in a few places in the Mishnah, Pemed, where they would take the lees of the wine and pour water over them, and there's still enough grape juice in the lees that it would get absorbed into the water, and you'd have an inferior quality wine. Same thing you could do here with the dates to get more beer out of them. They weren't completely dry. No, they had liquid in them. But even after you squeeze them out, there's enough liquid left in them that if you poured water on it and let it sit for a while, then the water would absorb enough of the taste of the dates that you could make a weaker beer out of it. A couple of other explanations what Prumah the Shikra is. One of them, the Rif brings from one of the Gaonim, that means a small container of beer. Anyway, Also more de shitra. So now the owner of the beer, meaning the owner of the original dates, which the beer is being brewed from, came, Ashkeche, he found him, being Mekadesh with the thing. Omalei, he says to him, Amai la chesiv mehai charifa. Why didn't you take and give from the sharper stuff? Meaning, Rashi says, you have, if we're talking about the lees, the dregs, there's different kinds. There's kinds where already you poured water on them once and gotten your weak beer. Now you're going to do it again and again. Eventually, you're not really going to have much beer flavor, much date flavor left in them. So he used ones that already maybe have water poured on them once or twice. So the Balabas tells him, why don't you take some of the fresh stuff, which would have been better quality. Now, on the face of it, maybe that sounds like he's saying, I approve of what you did. Because otherwise, why did he tell him to take it from the better stuff? However, also the Chamei de Rava, he came to Rava to ask a Shaila. Omer, and Rava said, now there is such a din in a different context, by Truma, as the Gemara is going to quote now. However, that does not apply in our case. Loi Omruch, Kloch Eto Yafis El Inyan Truma. The Chachamim only said that this concept, where the Balabas says you should have gone and gotten the better stuff, that only applies to Truma. Bilvat, only. What does that mean? Well, the Tanya, as we learn in a Brisa, Ketzed Omru Torim Shalemi Das Truma Se Truma. What does it mean when the Chachamim say that if a person takes Truma from somebody else's produce without his Das, that such a thing is valid Truma? The case is like this. Hadesh Yor L'Sech Zdei Chaber. Suppose a person goes into somebody else's field, V'liket V'Torim Shalemi Bershulis, he picks produce and takes truma without permission. Now, not totally without permission, Tosfos points out. Totally without permission wouldn't work. You have to be a shliach. It means that he appointed him a shliach to take truma, but he didn't tell him what quality fruit to take from, and usually in that case, you should take from the average quality fruit. In this case, he took from the good stuff. It's not gezel because he's doing it as truma. If there's a concern of gezel, meaning if he knows the balabais is going to mind what he did and consider it as if he stole it, ain't truma, it's a truma, then that's not valid truma.
How can it be gezel? It's a field.
No, it's a field. What do you mean? It belongs to the balabais. It means effective. Not really he stole, because we can even a truma anyway. But it means the balabais minds it as if this guy had stolen this stuff from him. Then it's not truma. The imlav truma is truma, and if not, then it is truma. Uminayin ho yedei imchoshes mishum gezel imlav. How do you know what the balabas thinks about it? Haresha bal balabayis. The case is the balabayis himself shows up later. Umasar, and he finds him taking the good stuff at truma. But I'm like kloch etzol yafis, and the balabayis tells him you should have gone to the better stuff. You should have taken the even better stuff. If there are in fact nicer fruit, truma said truma, then it means the balabais wasn't makbid. It means he genuinely meant, yes, you know what? Why'd you take from the average stuff? I like to give from the best. The imlav, but if not, ain't truma said truma, then the truma is not a truma.
If he
says take from the better stuff, but there isn't any better,
right,
then what the balabais is sort of saying sarcastically, you know what? It's a good thing there wasn't any better stuff. If there was, you would have taken that. But then ain't truma said truma.
And if he doesn't say anything.
If he doesn't say anything, then I don't know. What if the owner himself comes in and starts picking more fruit and adding it to the pile of truma? Then either way it is valid truma because it shows that he agreed with what the guy did. So, Rava says all of that applies only in the case of truma. Because Rashi says, given that, after all, truma has to be taken eventually from this produce anyway, then if you can have the balabais for hapchila didn't intend for him to take from the nicest stuff, because he didn't tell him to. However, b'dieved, now he found he's taking from the nicest stuff, from the nicer than average stuff, and he shows his approval of it, then fine, we can say truma, say truma. Aval hacha, but in our case over here, involving the beer residue over here, Mishum Kisufa Hudavad. The only reason the Balabayas says like that, you should have taken the nicer stuff, is just because of out of embarrassment. Either embarrassment in the sense that he doesn't want to cause a scene, he doesn't want to make the guy, he doesn't want to start yelling at the guy, how tough and you're taking this stuff when it doesn't belong to you. Or if a character can mean Mishum Kisufa, that he says to him sarcastically, Klochei Toyavas, let the guy be a little embarrassed himself. Yeah.
Take from the best.
Yeah. So then, therefore, Ve'enim Kodesh, therefore she's not Mekodesh, because you can't say he really approved of it. So Tosfos actually says that it does have to be, at least over here, that he did make him a shliach for the same reason as Truma, that it has to be that he made him a shliach for it to be valid in the first place. However, then Ramban disagrees with that and says that you can actually be Mechalik between the two cases. It didn't necessarily have to be that he made him a shliach per se, but to be Mekadosh, but nevertheless we're saying that because he didn't approve of it ahead of time, therefore no good. Therefore it has to be considered gezel, and therefore it's no good.